This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and I just lost my computer screen, so Glenn, finish that up. I'll get it right back.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March the 23rd, episode 1130. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Oh, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by and spending a little bit of time with us talking horses and ponies this morning. And, Jamie, I got to tell you what, you really have gone viral now. Thor is getting popular.
You know, I love this. This is hilarious. I got a message from one of our listeners, Robin, and she said, turns out the only thing you needed to go viral was to meet Monty Roberts and get a Mustang. This is very true.
That's funny.
I love a song
about sheath cleaning. Either one works.
That one never happened, okay? That one never happened. Because if you're going to go viral, it should be for something awesome and for what Glenn is talking about, you guys. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold, so that's why I sound a little funky. I taught Thor, my horse, my Mustang, who was very, very scared when you would get on him on the mounting block, or even just when you would stand up on the mounting block, he would panic. And then when you'd go to mount, he would take off. And I wrote a letter to the inmate, and I said, hey, did he do this to you? And he's like, yeah, when you put your foot in the stirrup. And he wrote me back, and he said, when you put your foot in the stirrup, just let him spin for a while. When he's done, you'll sit down. I was thinking, no, I'm not rolling like that. I'm not going to be that girl all the time. So I signed on to Monty Roberts University, and they teach you that it's so easy to teach your horse to come to the mounting block. And I posted like videos for a couple of days. Well, Monty Roberts shared them on his Facebook page, and he has like, I don't know, a billion fans. And now Thor is super popular. Both my videos have almost 48,000 views a piece. 48,000! That's insane!
Did you learn from the first one and dress a little better in the second one? Did you put on makeup?
No. No. It's not about me. It's about Thor. No, it's hilarious. I'm a disaster. And I didn't really, you don't realize that, something's going to go viral. Let me get all dressed up. And, I would have at least cleaned up some stuff in my arena or, done something different. But, no. So, yeah, I went viral. I don't know what viral means. But to me, 48,000 people seeing my video and hundreds of people sharing it, that counts, right?
That counts, And you went viral and got sick all at the same time. So it kind of makes sense. You went viral in many different ways this weekend.
I was very fine. You're right. Double viral.
I was shocked. I was kind of busy over the weekend. We'll talk about that here coming up. But when I went on to Thor's page last time I had looked, he had 250 fans, and now you're up to 600. So good for you. Good for Thor. He's popular.
Yay, Thor. I mean, now the pressure's on. I got to keep this thing going.
That's right. You need to be at Rolex within 3 years.
Oh, my God.
You need to get Thor there before Elisa gets one of hers there.
Elisa has a much better shot because I might go there and show people how Thor goes to the mounting block. That's going to be about the coolest thing I'm going to teach.
I thought about you this weekend because there were many mounting blocks. I didn't get the chance to watch. Pirelli was over doing his thing at the show at Live Oak, and there were a whole bunch of Western horses there, which looked really out of place, by the way. But they were a lot of mounting blocks around. I thought about you this weekend. I thought, well, okay. She went to Monty Roberts and learned how to do it. She didn't need a carrot stick.
I'm going to not make any comments so I don't make anybody mad. You know how I feel about that Pirelli thing, and I can't even imagine that people needed mounting blocks because nobody actually rides their horse in Pirelli. It's all games on the ground. Sorry, move on. Carry on. Keep going.
We apologize to all the Pirelli people out there this morning. Jennifer, what's on today's show? Please save us from ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Throw it to me now that you've buried yourselves. Would you like a flexing fork to dig your way out? Really?
Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. Send me your emails. I can take it.
There we go. On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition,
way to start a Monday
once
morning.
The weekend adventure segment of the show has come and gone, we'll be joined by Julia from Windstar Farms Stablemates Club. Yet another way to get your horse fixed, even if you can't get within 100 miles of an actual horse. And after a fast-paced look at the horsey headlines of the day, the wacky world of Horse Nation kicks off the laugh track for the week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is time for our daily winning. Well, my daily winning really goes out to three people. The one is the USEF Network for inviting Wendy and I to come over and do the coverage, live coverage on their feed for the Live Oak International, the driving competition this weekend, and also for inviting Emily Thompson of the Horses in the Morning Show, another host here who does our jumping episode once a month. She did the commentary for the live feed for the jumping part of the weekend and did a terrific job. I also want to thank Chelsea and Lisa, who are going to be with us here in about 2 minutes. We're going to have them on. They're standing here in my studio. They're going to come on, and we're going to talk a little bit about the weekend. But they did a great job posting pictures and stuff on our Facebook pages and keeping everybody up to date on what was going on over there. They were faster than the people from Live Oak in their postings, and they had pictures out before anybody did. So good job, girls. So thank them for doing that. And we had a fun weekend. It was a good time. We got to spend the whole weekend together, so it was fun. Oh, did we lose Jamie?
Oh, can you hear me? Sorry.
There we go. Now you're back.
I keep having to turn my mic off to cough, so I forgot to turn it back on. Sorry.
Doing radio when you have a cold sucks. It just sucks.
I just feel very discombobulated. I just think, don't feel organized. Okay, so anyway, I was going to say that my perfect segue to give my daily winnie would go to Alisa Wallace. Alisa Wallace competed not one, but two of her Mustangs at Poplar Place Horse Trials this past weekend and did really well when the little gray filly that she, was win-win and she, the last most recent Mustang makeover one where she jumped a 4-foot wall, bareback, bridleless. So she ended up finishing 5th out of 15. She was doing better, but apparently... Yeah, had a couple rails in stadium. She said she was being a dork because she thought that there were monsters in the jumps. But ended up doing very well, 5th out of 15. And Rune, she took her old standby Mustang, the chestnut that we all love, and he ended up finishing 12th. He went clean in stadium, but I guess she said that he was a little bit she hasn't really been focusing on getting him over cross-country schooling, and so he was a little green out there, and I think he had a stop. But with one stop at the finishing 12th, that's really good. So way to go, Alisa Wallace and her Mustangs at Poplar Place.
We're talking Mustangs doing a three-phase event. That's pretty darn good. Yeah.
Two of them.
It hasn't been done a whole lot before, so she's leading the way.
She is. She's awesome. I'll be there soon. Maybe, give me, a couple years. I'll get him to a beginner novice horse draw.
I gave you 3 years to be at Rolex. That's all I'm giving you. So
I meant a year. Yeah, good luck with that. I'm on my way there, Glenn. Sure.
2018. That's what I'm writing on my calendar now.
Write that down.
All right. We have with us now, she did a live report for us from Live Oak International on Friday. And now she's standing right beside me here in the studio. We have Chelsea Sievers out of Wisconsin. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us a little bit here this morning before heading off to the airport to go back to snowy Wisconsin.
I know. I got the reports. We got 3 to 4 inches on the ground this morning, and it was, what, almost 90 yesterday? Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system.
Chelsea looks like a lobster.
Are you serious? Tinker.
Yes.
Sunscreen.
And the racing stripes down the side of the legs, the reflection from the bleachers back onto yourself when you're sitting up in the stands is pretty intense. So I have the perfectly pink upper thigh with the perfectly white under thigh. It's pretty quality.
That's hot. That's hot, girl.
No, it is. Let me tell you, the day later, it is hot.
In many ways.
Yes.
I had to laugh when they came in, and I told them, I said, you better wear sunscreen. It's going to be almost 90 for 3 days, and you're fair skin, your fair Wisconsin skin is not used to it.
It wasn't just one layer of sunscreen. We were pretty good about sunscreen about every 2 hours until yesterday. It was a little cloudy yesterday, and we're like, no, we're fine.
They thought
nope.
It was cloudy. That cloudy protects you. It does not. More people get burned at the beach on cloudy days than sunny days.
Yeah, and the sun reflecting off those stands, I think that's really what got us, why we didn't get too burned on marathon day, but for cones day, we just got fried.
All right, give us an overview here real quick, Chelsea. You're a driver. You drive ponies and minis. So what was the scoop? How'd you enjoy your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. So we came in, and Glenn and Jen put up with us since Wednesday. So they've been troopers for hanging out with two horse girls for that long. So we watched the FEI dressage on Thursday, and then Friday was the intermediate dressage. So bless Lisa's heart, she sat through 2 days of driven dressage before we even got to the jumpers. And then Saturday was the big marathon day, and Sunday was cones. So 4 days of solid, like, top sport driving, which was amazing.
Okay, so now they go to Jamie, you're going to crack up at this. They go to Chester Weber is the big guy in driving. I mean, he's the god of driving. So
oh, yeah.
They go to the press conference for the jumper at first day, and... And you were going to ask questions, right?
Yeah. So I had my questions in my head. I was all ready to go. And they had the jumper riders there. So first, second, and third place jumper riders. They're like, okay, got my questions, ready to go. And then I see out of the corner of my eye, Chester Weber comes up and stands immediately behind me. And I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I'm covered in dirt. I have, like, 4 layers of sweat and sunscreen on. I probably stink by now. I'm sunburned on my back, looking like a holy mess, and Chester Weber is standing behind me. And then I totally forgot my questions and just had to focus on breathing and not totally losing it. So
she had a that girl moment.
It was a little bit of a fangirl moment. Wendy goes, oh, you should have said hi.
I don't want to be that girl.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to share that sounder with you. Can I point out that Chester Weber probably smelled bad and was mud and dirty, too. He'd been outside all day. He'd been driving horses all day. And here you are. You panic. But I could see that because he's right behind you, and, like, you can almost feel the breath on your neck. Like, was it that bad?
All, and he's, like, good looking. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God. Yeah, he's pretty well off, you know. And, of course, he had his, like, perfect khaki pants on and a new white polo on. So I'm sure he has, like, dress, you know, wardrobe change between actual marathon and press conference.
Well, his big house is there on the property.
Yeah, so he was doing all right. I, on the other hand, was down in the gulch all day, so it was definitely dirty and dusty and a little smelly.
Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's get Lisa on. I know you guys got to get to the airport, so let's get Lisa Locke on here real quick. She came down also from Wisconsin. She's a jumper girl, so she was interested in covering the jumper competition. This was a qualifier for Las Vegas, right? It was qualifier for the World Cup.
Yes, that's true. So it was pretty exciting. Some of the riders were shuffling around trying to get all their points in so that they could get to Las Vegas next month. And it sounds like BZ Madden made it happen along with Kirsten Coe. So,
but tell you, this is a different world, okay? Because what happened, tell them what happened after they were done on Saturday and what they had to do Saturday night. So we're in Ocala, Florida, and we are about 4 hours away from Wellington. And they, was it BZ and a couple of the others?
Laura Kraut rode in the Grand Prix on Saturday afternoon.
Here in Ocala.
Here in Ocala. And then she went down to Wellington and rode in a second Grand Prix the same day.
Oh, my
in the
God.
Evening. Flown by private
me?
Jet.
Yeah, hopped on the private,
private jet,
flew on over to Wellington, and rode in another Grand Prix.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Lisa did have some celebrity spotting. Did you, in fact, see the boss? Because Jessica Springsteen was riding.
We did not see Bruce Springsteen, but we did kind of stalk Jessica a little bit. We did have a couple of sightings of her around the grounds, which was pretty cool. But nope, no sightings of Bruce, unfortunately.
You were looking, I know.
Yes, we had our eyes open.
I was like, if Jessica's going to be here, look for Bruce. He's here a lot of times. He's here.
Yeah, so. I'm sure he was in the VIP tent down at, while we were up in the bleachers.
He wasn't with the lovely people like us.
Although we did have some riders come and join us up in the bleachers. We saw Peter Leone came up and watched some of the riders yesterday going around kind of plotting out his course. And so that was pretty cool.
Now, you went to the press conference also the second day, and we're going to ask some questions. That didn't go so well, did it?
It did not. Just like Chelsea was starstruck by Chester Weber, I couldn't form a single thought when we got there. When you hear press conference, you know, you think that there's going to be a big room and there's going to be tons of people and that you can kind of sneak in and just sort of bask in the glow of these top riders. That was not the case. It was a little tent. It was maybe six other people besides the riders in there, and I couldn't think of a single thing.
She was like
to
three
say.
Feet from BZ Madden, and she couldn't even talk to her.
I was across the table from BZ Madden and Keanu O'Connor, and I couldn't form a thought.
Here we go.
I don't wanna be that girl, best girl, best girl.
Yeah, that's right. I gave it to you too.
I think it was well deserved.
And I'm very proud that they were wearing Horse Radio Network gear while they were doing this too.
And I'm
well,
sure they
I will
looked...
say, I redeemed yeah, myself sure. on the second day. I did. I asked a question to Andre Thiem, Keanu O'Connor, and Margie Engel. So that was pretty cool. Although, as soon as you say anything, they all look at you, and I'm pretty sure I turned bright red immediately.
Yeah. Oh, God forbid they look at the person who just asked him a question. I know.
I
it's
know,
pretty
but
stressful.
It's very intimidating.
I know.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I know you guys had a blast this weekend. You were having so much fun, and we really appreciate you coming down.
We did. Thank you so much.
Thanks for helping out with all the coverage that we did.
Oh, it was super fun. Thanks again.
All right. We'll see you guys. Have a good trip back to the snowy Wisconsin.
Bragger.
Well, you got a chance. I know I heard from you and a lot of other people. I know a ton of our listeners here on Horses in the Morning also tuned in to Wendy and I doing the USEF Network's live video coverage of the weekend. What'd you think?
Let me tell you something. First of all, I have never watched any competitive driving anything. And that's probably terrible that I have never exposed myself to it, but I never really understood what I was looking at. And I got to tell you, with you guys commentating, you and Wendy, first of all, did a fantastic job. You made it interesting. You guys were funny. You were self-deprecating at times. There she was with, she was like, Chester does that. I don't drive like that. I mean, she was so funny and knowledgeable, and you had such great comments to make, and I just really enjoyed the whole thing. I was watching it early. It's super early Saturday morning, and Chad comes in here, and he's like, what are you watching? Because he's like, you know, he's never seen this before either. And he said, it's like cross-country day, but they're driving. And so he actually sat down and was interested in it, too. And you guys just did such a great job. I fell in love with a German riding pony
yes.
or something? I don't know.
A lot of German riding ponies. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cool. I just loved it. And then to see all the big, giant warmbloods and the Frisians, it was really, really cool. You guys did an awesome job. And I would love now to go see one of those live.
It is amazing seeing those four-in hands go through those obstacles because there's no room. I mean, there's no room in those obstacles, and they're turning those four-in hands around, and it is kind of fun to watch. Wendy did a fantastic job. She really did. She knows her stuff, and she's driven, you know, single pair and fours at Live Oak, so she's driven all those obstacles.
Yeesh.
And Wendy is not afraid. She's like you. She's not afraid to talk about her failings along the way. It is very funny.
It was really, really good. It was really, really fun to listen to. And those pony people, the people that drive ponies, that scream at them the entire time, what is up with that? It's like the one girl on cross country in my sport eventing who jumps a jump and then goes, ah, woohoo! Or she'll be like coming up to the jump, you know, jump it, yeah, yeah. It was just like that, but they were driving and they're yelling at this poor pony who's trying as hard as he can, and they're screaming at the pony. Why do they do that?
Well, you know, Bob Giles is known for that, and everybody loves to watch him because he's just so entertaining to watch go through the obstacles because he's just screaming and talking to them the whole time. And now that, a lot of them do talk. The commands are verbal for a lot of these horses because they don't have leg, obviously. So the commands are verbal, but it was wild. Now, we didn't have any turnovers. It was a really good day that way. The gulch there that you saw, which is the second obstacle, is wild for turnovers with the big bridge and everything. You always see turnovers there.
Well, they were like trying to, these ponies have just come through the water and they climb this hill and they have to like make a hard left to get across this bridge and they're flying. They're flying and the bridge was slippery and the ponies are sliding everywhere. And I just felt so, I was like, stop screaming at it. It is crying so hard.
Those ponies are really tired because they still do the roads and track section that the Adventures used to do. So they do that before they come into there.
Dude,
so they
really?
Still have, they have a Part A. So they do the Part A before they ever get to here. And those obstacles are very tiring for the horses. Just because, you know, they have to concentrate so hard and it's just, they're flying. I mean, it's for speed. So they're flying through them. It's a lot of fun to watch. Now, I got to tell you about this. I tried to find it in the audio, and I couldn't find it, but it's not up yet. Yesterday, we also did Cones competition, which is like the jumping and eventing, the last competition to determine the winners.
So
well, Cones only
before Cones start, they do like a jog up to make sure the horses are all sound. Yeah,
same
they do that too?
Yep, okay. Same as eventing. They have all the same things that way as eventing. And, you know, we had a great time on – let me tell you how hard it is to keep track. And thank God the USEF Network did a good job with their coverage, with their video, because it was difficult for Wendy and I. Thank God she knew everybody because I wouldn't have been able to do it. They kept cutting to different obstacles. Well, we had to know who the drivers were instantly, and they didn't tell us. So Wendy just had to recognize them. And that was hard because there were four on course at a time. So they'd be cutting to different – and we didn't know where they were going next. So we didn't know who was going to be on next. And Wendy just played that so well. She really, truly did. Now, I was helping her. You know, we had cheat sheets, and I was keeping it all, you know, straight for her, and I would help her out that way. But it was difficult. Then you get to Sunday, and it's cones. It's like jumping, where there's one in at a time, and they each take a couple minutes. So it was like relaxation central for us on Sunday. We actually could relax a little bit. And so we're talking. We had a lot more talking we had to do because – you know, the action wasn't as great as Saturday. And the one girl, and I won't say who it was because I already have to apologize to her, she was in the ring and she had knocked a couple of the balls over. And what happens in cones is there's a cone with like a tennis ball on top. And you go through these narrow openings in the cones and you do a cones course of 20 different cone sets. And you try and do it as fast as possible. It's for speed without knocking the balls off the cones. Well, she had knocked a couple balls off and she had knocked a ball off in cross-country day. And I mentioned that, and I said, Jamie, I said, before I even thought about it, I said, she's going to be dreaming about balls tonight.
Oh, my God. No, you did not.
I did. And it went. And then I realized what I said, and I knew I could not look at Wendy. And I saw out of a corner of my eye Wendy deciding, what do I do with that? Where am I going to go with that? And there was this silence. And then Wendy says, I'm just not going to say anything. And I said, oh my, I said, I just realized what I said. And I said, oh my God, I really should not have said that. And then I was like, I'm going to have to apologize to her for sure. And then Wendy's cracking up. And then I hear in my ear, because the people in the control room for the video people could talk to us, the director.
Oh, no.
And he comes to my ear and says, we are dying in here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
A couple people even posted it on Facebook. They said it was hilarious. And it was
You know what, though, Glenn? You got to think about this. In football, like, say, Monday Night Football, that guy that always does the Monday Night Football games, all he says is certain things like, I mean, if you listen to it without knowing what he's talking about, it sounds very sexual, like, and he's, you know, penetrating down the middle and he's doing that. And everything is so inappropriate when you listen to people commentate on football. And he found the hole. Like, I'm like, this is joke overload. So really, Glenn, you didn't do anything too bad. You just weren't thinking ahead, and that's okay. But listen to a football game and listen to how many times they talk about, you know, could be very inappropriate things. So it's not that bad.
What saved me was it became very funny with Wendy's reaction. And I could tell she was being so good and really wanted to jump on that, but she didn't.
Oh, I would have died. You know I would have. Professional
or
not. And
I realized as soon as I said it, I said, oh, that didn't sound good. oh, well. That was the embarrassing moment of the weekend. But we had a great time, and thanks to USEF, we're so good. And the pictures, I don't know how it came across for your end, but the high-def pictures they were putting out were really good.
Gosh, and the stream was so fast. I didn't get to see the balls. I didn't dream of balls on Sunday night. Cones. I just saw the Saturday, and the feed was incredible. I mean, it was fast, and it jumped from one obstacle to the next. And, yeah, like you said, I don't know how you guys kept it straight, but you guys did such a good job calling it, and Emily did well for her jumpers. I didn't get to see that either.
Yeah, no, we did watch that. Actually, I had come home, and I was watching it from home, and Emily did a really good job. And she was a little nervous. She wasn't sure. I only asked her the day before. They really needed somebody. And they called me and said, who do you got? And Wendy said, well, I'll do it, but I don't know anything about jumping. So I said, well, let me call Emily. She does know something about jumping and knows all these people. So I think it worked out really well. That's tough, too. She went in there doing, you know, hours. Probably between 2 days, 6-7 hours of commentating with a woman she had never met before. So,
wow.
You know, that would be like you and I having never met, trying to do 7 hours of live coverage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
wow.
That's got to be tough. So she did a good job with that. So kudos to Emily. Good job. Now, tonight, there's a big class. There's a million-dollar class here in Ocala. It's the Hits Million, and that's happening tonight. Now, it is pouring down rain since about 4 in the morning, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. The sand over there is pretty good. But, so we have all the big, big, big riders coming into town today for that class tonight, and Emily will be staying around for that.
Sure. She's going to probably try to catch a ride.
You watched. I was so happy when I got the text from you that you were watching. I was so happy.
Do you realize what text I would have sent you if I had heard the comment about dreaming about balls?
We had too. I asked people to post questions for Wendy during Cones yesterday on our Facebook page, A Driving Radio Show. We had a ton of questions from around the world. I even got a message from the people from a bunch of drivers had gotten together, and they were watching our feed in Europe. The big name drivers were watching it over there. So that was kind of cool.
That's great. That's really cool. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good horsey weekend got to see that. Very good. Congrats. You did it.
Thank you. Thank you. And you spent the weekend mostly with Thor, doing Thor things?
Thor and Edward, you know, what's really exciting is that this Monty Roberts University thing I'm kind of obsessed with right now. My gosh, it's so fun because I go on and I looked at all the basic stuff for Thor. And then I worked on flying lead changes with Edward down basically at the center line, coming across a diagonal, no poles, no nothing. You guys, I was getting flying lead changes on Edward just by tapping him with my outside leg. It's insane. For those of you who don't have a horse to start, go on there and look at the more advanced maneuvers. I was getting flying changes on my thoroughbred across the diagonal. It didn't make any sense. So I played all weekend with the horses, and even though I was sick, we still kept going. We kept trying. Actually, I took a video of the pony. My student, Rachel, on her pony, Jacob, she was getting flying lead changes across the diagonal, too, thanks to Monty Roberts. All the girls were like, what are you, where did you come from? I'm like, that's it. Halt your horse. Back up. Do this. You know, I've got a plan now. I've changed my teaching methods. I've changed my work ethic. And I'm telling you guys, I'm excited about this. I'll post a video on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page of the pony doing the flying lead changes. Oh, my gosh. It's adorable.
Very good. Well, you know, we over the weekend had a chance to visit with one of your favorite people from Omega Alpha. The Omega Alpha people were at Live Oak over the weekend, so we had a chance to chat with them. And they were there doing their thing, and there were a lot of people coming in and that had heard about it on the show, which was kind of cool. And people were there stocking up on their supplies and everything. And Jeff was there, who I know you know.
Oh, hi, Jeff.
Yes, and he said that you two have an intimate relationship, you and Jeff.
What?
Don't tell my husband.
That's something about him being your dealer.
He is kind of my dealer. That's funny.
Your Omega Alpha dealer. But, yeah, so we got to see Omega Alpha. You know, if you want the finest in all natural supplements, then Omega Alpha Equine is the place to go. We actually stocked up on a couple of the things we needed. And I know that Chelsea and Lisa also brought some stuff home with them from there because, you know, there aren't a whole lot of companies that have the science behind it that Dr. Chang puts into the products. And they have almost every avenue of your horse's health covered. You can go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com and you can find all the different products they have. But what I like about them is they're real. The products are real. They are all natural. Dr. Chang comes on here once a month, and you can tell how darn smart the guy is because I don't understand half of what he says. Jamie gets it, but that's why she has to interview him because she's much smarter than me. They do such a terrific job with their products. And it was so good to see them over the weekend. I wanted to thank them for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate they've been with us for a very long time. Yeah, it's probably since the beginning, right, Jamie? Since day one. So
day one.
They've been with us for almost 5 years. Wow. It's going to be 5 years, Jamie.
Oh, my God. We're getting old. Holy
cow. I
know.
I just shocked myself when I said it's going to be almost 5 years. But, yeah, they are going to... They're going to continue with us, and we're very glad to have them. So if you are looking for a supplement, stop over first at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You'll find them at a lot of major tack shops and feed stores around the country. If not, you can just hop onto their website. Well, we have our first guest ready today, and she only works at one of the most beautiful places in the world. So, Jamie, you want to introduce her?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, talk about one of the most beautiful places in the world, Windstar Farm in Versailles, Kentucky. Whew, my gosh, didn't get much better than that. And I'd like to welcome Julia to the show. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us to tell us about Windstar Farm's Stablemates program. If you guys love Windstar Farms and love the thoroughbred world and the just being in Kentucky, Stablemates, the membership you can get, basically takes you into Windstar Farms. Is that a good way of putting it?
That's a really good way of putting it. What we say whenever, you know, new people join the membership club is you're getting ready to come to work with us every morning.
Do I have to clean stalls?
Yeah.
No, you don't, but that would be a good physical exercise. If you're, you know, looking to lose some weight to get into that bikini of the summer, that would be a really good way of doing it.
I love it. So tell us a little bit, tell everybody what the Winds, well, first of all, give everybody kind of a background on Windstar Farms.
Well, Windstar Farm is one of the biggest thoroughbred farms in North America. We've been in business since 2000 when we acquired Fresh and Wood Farms. And we just keep growing every year. We keep acquiring land, we keep acquiring horses. We have an incredible stallion roster. We have a really good band of brute mares, and just every year we just try to put on the ground the best foals that we can and race them and go on to win the Derby. Hopefully again, we had Super Saver win the Derby in 2010, so hopefully we can have another winner this year.
I would like to point out that one of my favorite horses in the world, Tisnow, stands at Windstar Farms. Of course, Tisnow winning the Breeders' Cup Classic 2 years in a row. Also, stallions like Colonel John, you've got Bodemeister, Drosselmeyer, Distorted Humor, Gemologist, Pioneer of the Nile, Painter, sound familiar, anybody? Overanalyze. A Super Saver stands there, obviously, Take Charge Indy, Tisnow. The roster is so incredibly impressive. At Windstar Farms. I mean, we're talking, when you guys are driving down the roads in Kentucky and you look off and you see, oh my gosh, that place is amazing. That's what you would say when you drive by Windstar.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. We give a lot of tours. We get a lot of people that come to the farm every year, especially this time of the year when the babies are on the ground. So that's absolutely correct.
So Windstar Farms, the Stablemates program, I don't think that any other farm is doing a program like this. I've certainly never heard of it. I think you guys are kind of getting this thing off the ground. Tell everybody what the Stablemates program is.
Well, Stablemates was born, I think it was born 3 years ago, and you're correct, no other farm that we know of is as open to the public as we are. With Stablemates, you get to join an exclusive membership club where we offer different levels of membership, and every level gives you different perks, you know, according to the camera membership, grade 3 membership, grade 2, or even grade 1 membership. You get to do different things. You get to see videos and interviews on the website. You get to talk to the managers. You get to come out on the farm. Get private tours and come to the farm every year for an annual dinner that we have, go to races.
Let's start with the free membership. What do people get with the free membership? And we'll talk about each one of them.
Beautiful. Yeah, they get access to the website and they get to see pictures. They get to interact with other fans and connect with other racing fans. They still get to ask questions to the managers, and there's also a few free contests. So that's the very basic membership. But the real perks, you start getting those when you start getting into the higher levels of memberships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's move to the CAM membership. It's $39.95 a year, and
correct.
You get a Windstar hat, but you also, obviously you get access to all of the cameras on Windstar Farms?
Yeah, that would be correct. We have 2 polling cameras that are active right now, and we also have a new full alert system, so our Stablemates member get, and if they desire, they get an email to notify them of the birth of a new baby so they can watch that on camera. We have 4 stallion cameras. There's a camera in Tisnow Stall, Super Savers, Bodemeisters, and Colonel John's. And we also have a stallion circle camera. So you get to see all the stallions parade in the stallion circle whenever they go to the breeding shed, whenever there's a stallion show, there's a breeder wanted to inspect the stallion. So that's, you know, the, there's always a lot of action on that camera. And then we have three cameras at the training center. So we have one where, you know, that's at the cocker stand where you get to see the horses breeze. And then there's another one in the shed row and then another one at the entrance of the barn. So you get to see all the horses going in and out, getting ready for training, or just hanging out in their stall, basically.
I just wanted to clarify, there's not one in the breeding building, right? I just wanted to clarify that.
No, there's not one in the breeding shed, but you get to see the horses coming in and out from the breeding shed, so it's as close as we
get. So you
get
to see them when they're coming out with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, pretty much.
Glenn being gross. So then we move to the grade 3 membership, which is $99.95 a year. And it includes a VIP private guided behind-the-scenes tour of Windstar. You get to take a picture with the stallion, possibly stand next to Tisnell and get your photo taken. I'm sure, just watch out, don't get bit. You get to go and get your picture taken with all the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont and the Dubai World Cup trophies. You're eligible
Correct.
For random drawings to win all sorts of cool stuff, access to auctions, and you get to go to Windstar events, and that's $99.95. Grade 2, you get even more cool stuff. Now, I want to get to the Grade 1 membership. Grade 1 memberships. This may be the coolest thing I've ever seen, and there's no price on here. Can you tell us how much a Grade 1 membership costs?
A Grade 1 membership would cost $5,000 a year. I know that the price can be intimidating, but this kind of membership is designed to give the members that do wish to sign up for it the feel of being part of a working thoroughbred farm. It gives them the feel of being an owner of a horse and of a farm. So this is pretty much designed for people who are interested in getting involved in the business. And so with the business that comes a lot of expenses. So this kind of membership gives them the feel of what it would actually be like. But it has so many perks that it's worth every penny.
Okay, let's go over some of these perks. $5,000 a year. Now, this, you have set yourself up for a year because obviously you get an entire day on the farm with up to 6 people. You get to do the picnic lunch and the photo opportunities with the stallions and the horses. Now, it says you get a one-night stay at the Kentucky Castle. Is that the castle on Versailles Road that's, like, ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
okay.
It.
Okay, I've always wanted to stay there. Okay, so check that one off. You get to have a Q&A with everybody, VIP invitation and access to the annual Windstar Farm Party for you and 5 of your friends, suite access at Keeneland, VIP escorted access to Keeneland and Churchill. You get your name on a plaque in the stallion barn. You get a halter of your favorite thoroughbred. You get to come and watch the birth of a foal. You can bring somebody with you. They're like, hey, Jamie, we've got a Tisnell baby about to drop. You want to come on over and see it? Sure, I'm on my way. You get to name a yearling. I mean, come on, that's so cool.
Yeah, it just goes on and on. Again, as I said, it's just designed to give you the closest feel of what it would be like to actually be involved in the business as an owner.
Now, do you guys have, is this the Grade 1 membership, is it new? Do you have anybody signed up for it yet, or what?
Oh, we do. We sure do. We try to keep it limited in numbers because this kind of membership is very, how am I going to say this? It's we try to make sure that it's tailored to the members' needs and wishes. So we try to keep it, we try to keep the numbers low so we can give our members all the attention and dedication that they deserve. So right now we're pretty much close to full, to being full as far as Grade 1 members go.
Okay. So obviously you guys don't, let me just be blunt here, you don't need the money. This is not what this is about, is it? What is this?
No.
What is it about for you guys? Why are you doing this?
Well, we really love the idea of being open to the public and to help the public being educated about what we do and about the horse racing business. This is about educating people and connecting fans and, you know, just spreading what we love and what we do every day. Just sharing it.
Just kind of promoting the whole idea of the thoroughbred breeding farm. It's really, really
correct,
cool.
Correct, because this is not just about what we do, especially on our website. We try to be very educative, and we try to explain to people what it is like to work on a thoroughbred farm, what goes on, why we do this, why we do that, why, you know, a mare looks like this when she goes to the breeding shed, why a baby gets this kind of treatment done when it's born, why horses will go in the hyperbaric chamber, why they will go on the aquatread, and what happens to yearlings during the winter, what happens to yearling during the summer during prep season. So it's just very, you know, we use what we do, but we try to make it very broad and just very educative.
I know what I'm asking for Christmas now. I'm going great
well,
road,
that's,
baby.
That's
no.
actually a very popular gift for Christmas, and we always try to have specials, you know, for to sign up for new memberships and stuff. So it's actually a very popular Christmas gift.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. What do you, you know, like people that have $5,000 to spend on something like this, they go, huh, what can I get my husband that he can't get himself? And this is definitely one of those really great gifts. Well, cool. We thank you so much. What's the website people can find out more, Julia?
www.winsterstablemates.com. Or they
Fantastic.
Can go on our website, www.winsterfarm.com, and there's a little tab on the navigation bar that will bring them to the Stablemates website, and they can find all the information on Stablemates either on our online store or on the actual Winster Stablemates website.
Sounds great. Will you please give Tisnell a carrot from me?
If he doesn't bite my hand off, I will be really happy to.
Put it in his bucket. Put it in his bucket and tell him it's from me. All right. Thanks, Julie.
I will do
it. All right. Bye.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
But Tisnell has a bit of a reputation, huh?
He's a big, giant breeding stallion there, and he's been probably breeding there for 10, 15 years. Yeah, I'd say he's pretty much does whatever he wants. You want to kick me? I think probably have hire somebody just to get kicked by him if he wants to kick somebody.
Well, that's funny. Well, that sounds like a great program. Do not ask me for the G1 membership.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be asking anybody for that. If I win the lottery, though, if you win the lottery, because you play it more than I do, now you know what you're getting me.
Oh, now, okay, if I win the lottery, I'll get you the G1 membership. I'll get me one, too, and Jennifer one. We'll all go together.
The thing is, then I would have to have a private jet to fly me quickly to the foaling barn, because obviously I've got a mare that's going to foal in a minute and I get to go. I don't want to miss it. I'm all the way up to Phoenix.
Getting expensive. Suddenly, this is getting very expensive. Hey, the castle is really, really cool. I've been inside it and got a tour of it right after it was built. Yeah, they took it, inside it really looks like a castle. They actually had castles that were being torn down in Europe. They just took the whole rooms out, all the woodwork and all the fine ceilings and all that stuff. They took them out of those castles in Europe, and they brought it over here and installed it in that castle. So the inside is really even cooler than the outside.
Why would they tear down castles in Europe? That's just crazy, too.
I know. Upkeep. But, yeah, that was really,
too
really
many.
Cool.
Too many castles.
Yeah, too many castles over there. But yeah, it is really cool in there. I always said if I won the lottery, I'd buy it. It was for sale a little while ago for like 20 some million bucks.
It was for sale forever before they redid it when I lived there in like 95 and 96. It was for sale for nothing because it wasn't done, was it?
Yeah,
it wasn't done.
No, it
was not finished.
Yeah. It had been worked on for years and years and years, and finally the guy who finished it is the one who bought it here recently, and then he finished it, but he put millions into it. It's really cool inside. They do weddings there, and you can stay overnight. It's like $1,000 a night. You can stay in the castle.
Are you serious?
Right there. Oh, that's where Jennifer and I are staying there for Road to the Horse at the end of the week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
Well, I got to tell you, there's something that My Little Pony absolutely loves, and it's his Cavallo boots. We don't put shoes on our horses. Oh, you were waiting for that, weren't you?
You did it to yourself. You did it to yourself.
He absolutely loves the Cavallo boots, and so does Beaker. We don't shoe our horses here, and we really don't have any reason to. They're out in the field all day. The fields are all sand, so it's not a big deal here in Florida. But we do like to drive and ride him on the roads. We have 17 miles of roads in our equestrian community. And, you know, his tiny little pony feet do take a beating when you trot down the road. So we knew we had to solve that problem, and the Cavallo Trek boots were the way we did it. They are so easy to put on, so simple to put on. I know everybody's tried the boots that have little wire systems and that little thingy that goes up and down that you need a hammer to use. It's nothing like that. This is a simple Velcro system, but the way they go on and the way they fit, it only takes me 2 minutes to put four boots on. I can even do it. It's horse husband approved. The other ones, it required tools, and it was kind of a pain. And then the little metal wires that they had would start to fray and poke in the fingers. It's just kind of a pain. So I really love these Cavallo boots. They stay on. They don't move around when you're driving down the road. And we've trotted Beaker and the pony down the road and have had no trouble at all with our Cavallo Trek boots. You really want it. A lot of people will just put them on the front. We actually put them on the front and the back for when we're doing a lot of the road work. But if you're just going out and you're going trail riding and you just want a little extra protection on the front, you could just use them on the front. You buy them by the piece, so make sure when you're placing the order that you want to make sure that you're only getting one. I know a lot of people have made that mistake when they're buying boots for horses' feet. You notice how I'm trying to avoid that other word? Because then you'll pick on me. So I'm trying to avoid the other. You notice that?
Good job. You're doing good.
Boots. So if you want to check out the best boots, in our opinion, head over to Cavallo-Inc.com. And when I went there, guess who? You were talking about Monty earlier. So I went to Cavallo-Inc.com, and right there on the first slide was Monty Roberts.
No.
And he uses their saddle pads. So they do have saddle pads. They have terrific saddle pads. But, you know, what we've had really a lot of experience with is their boots. So check them out, Cavallo-Inc.com, for all of your horse needs. Good company. And we like to support companies that are run by families, and that's a husband and wife that runs that. You know, Jennifer and I are partial to family-run companies, so...
Absolutely.
We really like that, too. And, you know, just like EquityMFG.com is run by a husband and wife. So, well, let's take a break for Jared Rogerson. We're going to play one of his songs called Sweetwater. And then we're coming back. Leslie Wiley's going to be here with Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses. Everybody loves Leslie. And I forgot to mention that Lisa, that was on earlier, that was here for the weekend, was doing reports for Horse Nation on Live Oak. She was writing those reports. So that was kind of neat, too. So it's a small world, the horses are. We'll be right back.
Billy knew about it. Nellie knew about it, too. So they fired up Billy's beat-up truck and left right out of school. With millions of people out of work, wondering what to do. Money doesn't grow on trees, so they got down on their knees in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. Cracker Jack box, and they'd smoke some pot and pan for gold. These facts, the story that I've been told. Living that California dream,
it takes money to make a lot of money. Well, Billy and Nellie are living on the milk and honey. And policy is the best prevention. Now all they got to pay is attention to little shiny yellow pebbles in the sand, in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. It's kind of like looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they'd blow some pot and pan for gold. These facts are stories that I've been told. Living that California dream. Bought a new pickup truck. Some think they robbed the bank. Now others say they were dealing drugs. They didn't go for a higher education. Never needed a real vocation. They don't worry about anything. They still get down on their knees in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. Cracker Jack box. And they pray to God and pan for gold. Now the real story has been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. Living that California dream.
That's Jared Rogerson, and that is his song, Sweetwater. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jan is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, now I see that, speaking of California, California Chrome has made his way and apparently is liking the turf over there from what I'm reading in Dubai.
I think so. I mean, he seems pretty comfortable over there, and they're very happy to have him. No concerns for Chrome on Dubai dirt is what the title says.
Yeah, the winner last year was African Story. Now, African Story is returning, and African Story is owned by the Sheikh. So I'm sure they're partial to African Story, but California Chrome is the 7-4 favorite for this Sunday's race. So we'll keep an eye on that. And the dirt apparently over there is different than the dirt we have here. And they were saying that the people that are locals over there were saying, oh, California Chrome won't be able to run on this. But Art Sherman seems to be pretty confident after his first couple of workouts that
they're,
things
you know, fine. Though, those guys are always confident. It doesn't matter what race it's been
true.
In. You know, they've never been like, you know, we're just going to do the best we can. They're always like, he's going to win.
They never come out and say, I don't think we're going to win today.
No. You know, I read something actually interesting. Do you remember the horse Ron the Greek? Because the name sticks out to me. Ron the Greek. We talked about him. He's 8 years old, and he was going to run in the Dubai World Cup this year, but he's got an unspecified injury, so they just pulled him. Now, interesting to hear that Ron the Greek was sold after he was unable to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic in, like, 2013 or something, and he was sold to, to somebody in Saudi Arabia. The late Saudi King Abdullah was, his sons own him now. And they changed his name to Watani. So Watani, formerly known as Ron the Greek, has won his four most recent starts in Saudi Arabia. And now I didn't think that they could change thoroughbred names. You know
what
I mean?
King of Saudi Arabia, you can change whatever the hell you want.
I guess so. Wonder what Watani means. It must mean something interesting. Anyway, so I didn't know it was sold over to Dubai or where. I don't even know. Saudi Arabia. I just, that whole thing is kind of weird. I hope he's, when he retires, he's going to return back to the United States and do whatever. But my gosh, that just kind of, that story was kind of interesting to me. Another story that was interesting to me is, and kind of sad, but, you know, he lived a good life. Jumbo, the leading event sire of all time, just recently was euthanized. Andrew Nicholson source, he was 31 years old. A four-star event horse, I'm sorry, he was a massive event horse, the sire of 45 advanced horses, including Hedley Britannia and Avebury. This horse was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable eventer, but also went on to be an unbelievable stallion. Well, recently was put down, I guess, this past month. They still have some of his frozen semen, and four of his sons also stand at stud in Devon. So he's well represented, but oh my gosh, that's 45 of his progeny went on to be advanced eventers. That's really amazing.
That is crazy. And you know, 31, he lived pretty good. He lived a long life. Yeah.
Jumbo evented at advanced with Andrew Nicholson. Then he went on to be a show jumper with William Funnel and then a dressage with Lizzie Murray. This horse did everything, just absolutely everything. So he's well represented, lived a good life, and we'll miss him. But my gosh, what a horse.
And before we get to Leslie, I just wanted, we have a lot of listeners in Australia, New Zealand, and hello to you, to everybody down there. New Zealand just finished their Horse of the Year, and they had two German horses that actually took the Horse of the Year titles. Claudia Hay was riding Eurosport Centavus, won the prestigious Bostock International Olympic Cup, so that was one of their big ones for the weekend. And Julia Brome was riding Baum Feinstein and created history on their way to winning the Dressage Horse of the Year crown. They had a 76% in their musical freestyle, and they believe it's the highest score ever achieved at the Horse of the Year show. So congratulations to those two and to the horses for winning Horse of the Year titles in New Zealand. And we appreciate everybody from Australia and New Zealand who listens to the show every day. Well, let's head over to...
G'day.
Yep, and that's required.
Uh-huh. Of course, that is the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
It's Monday, so that means it's time for Leslie from Horse Nation to join us with the Wacky World of Horses. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, we had Lisa Locke was staying with us over the weekend, and she was writing reports for you from Live Oak down here. She just left to go to the airport, actually. So she said to say hello.
Oh, she did such a great job. It was neat to, we had daily reports from her, and so it was neat to feel like we were, you know, right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, they were so much fun, Leslie and Chelsea, so it was good to have them here. And I didn't realize when they got here, she said she was doing reports for you, and I said, she suckered you into it, didn't she?
You know it.
That's right. We had them doing our Facebook pages, too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we accomplished both there. Hey, Leslie, I got to ask you something. It appears that Jamie's, sheep cleaning song still is going to be probably in the top three of your posts for the month.
That thing went out of control, and I'm not at all surprised. Looking it back up now. I have no idea how many views it's had so far, but but it really resonated with readers. I think a lot of people were able to relate.
This is so embarrassing. I had, like, one of Chad's coworkers, she works in his building or whatever, and we've talked horses before because she's a horse person. She contacted me through Chad. Chad gave her my number and said, "Oh my God, I just totally saw you on Horse Nation. Is that you singing that song?" And I'm like, Chad's like, "Oh my God, now the people in my fighter squadron know that you sang a song about washing horses' penises." Like, that's so embarrassing.
Leslie, thank you for making that happen, by the way. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
It's fantastic.
Nobody cares now. You know, nobody cared about her getting the wonderful thing she's doing for getting a Mustang and training him and taking this Mustang and making him a useful member of society. Nobody cares about that. They just care that Jamie knows how to clean a sheep.
Not
That's
only knows
and,
how,
you know,
but...
Not only that, it'll get stuck in your head. I did notice some posts under yours. By the way, it has over, you're just, you putting it up on YouTube has almost 6,000 views, I guess, or listens. That's just terrifying. But I did notice that somebody wrote under there, "This has been going around before, and I've seen this before. It's from 2011. It gave the website, not I. So I had to type under there. I just had to say something. I wrote, "If you steal from me, you're stealing twice." And I stole that too. So you're really stealing three times if you use that. Nobody claimed I made this thing up, okay? I just had to be the embarrassing one to sing it.
Right.
Well, Leslie, what else is going on over there at Horse Nation?
Well, let's see. We've had some cool stories this week. My favorite story from last week was, you know, like, I'm sure you guys feel this way too. We spend a lot of our time every day thinking about horses, researching, you know, horsey news, talking to horse people, you know, and I feel like, you know, I know a lot of, I'm pretty up on my horse history. But every now and again, a story comes along, and I'm like, "How did I have I never heard of this?" And this story by Lorraine Jackson was one of those. She's done for the past 3 years, really since we got started. She's done this wonderful series called Horses in History for us, and always sort of highlight some little, you know, horsey narrative that otherwise, you know, I'm might get lost to history. And so she finds this story about a pony named Stroller. Have you guys heard of this horse?
No, I never had, and it's just awesome. This is just, tell it. It's so good.
Like, this was not even that long ago. Like, this was in the 60s. So a British rider, Marion Cokesmold. She gets a pony when she gets this pony, this 14-2-end pony, when she's 13. The horse is 10. The pony's 10. And, you know, when we had ponies, when we're 13, of course, whenever you're 13 year old, you know, years old, whatever you're riding, you're like, "Oh, we're going to the Olympics," you know, as completely unfeasible as that, you know, 99.99999% of the time is unrealistic. So she had a pony, and they just start cleaning up. I think her dad tried to talk her out of, talk her into moving on to a bigger horse when she was 16. But nope, Marion would not have it. She wanted to keep on with this pony, and they just kept moving on up the ranks until they were competing on the international stage, show jumping stage, alongside you know, the greats of the time. They tackled the Hickstead Derby, which, you know,
they won the Hickstead Derby.
I think they got, let's see, they placed second. They won their Derby trial round, and then they placed second to Seamus Hayes, who was, you know, a legendary show jumper. They later won the Hamburg Derby, which is equally terrifying. And it's the only pony, obviously, to ever. And this was when the ponies, this is in 1970, when the pony is 20 years old. So they win the Hamburg Derby. it's crazy. But then I think the peak of their career you're right. They did come back and they won the Hickstead Derby after they got second. So they get put on the Olympic team in 1968 to represent Great Britain as an individual at the Olympics in Mexico City. And and she gets a silver medal. It's crazy. So I'm looking at this, like, the apparently, like, sort of the second course, you know, the Olympic format's changed so much over the years. And so their second round was supposed to be kind of like a puissance with a big, great big fence in the middle. And the big fence was 1.7 meters high and 2.2 meters wide, which is five and a half feet high and 7 feet 2 inches, with a spread of 7 feet 2 inches. Like, a pony could go underneath that, right?
Right. Yeah. Pictures that you guys have on Horse Nation of this horse named Stroller are just so impressive, especially when the picture of Marion Cox, who was the rider, is next to Bill Steincross and David Broom at the 1968 Olympic medal ceremony. And you realize how freaking much bigger their horses are than Stroller. I can't believe I've never heard of this horse either, but this, what I love about this segment of yours is that it just, you guys, you're just educating those of us who horses that we should know. There should be a movie about this horse.
I know. I'm like, how have I never heard it? This is an incredible story. Just crazy. But, yeah, so hats off to Lorraine for collecting up I'm like, you have to put these, all of your columns in a book, compile them into a book someday. She's got to do that. But so neat. And then the pony went on to live, of course, as ponies do, until he was 36.
112 years old.
112.
Yeah.
Man, what a story.
I loved it. Her dad, I mean, obviously they come from a big show jumping family. Her brothers were like on the team, you know. But I love that her dad was like, we're getting you a new horse. You need to move up. And she's like, oh, hell no. I'm keeping my pony. And she was like the one girl that got her dream pony when she was 10 and like seriously kept it until she got to the Olympics. That is just an amazing story.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. Yeah.
Very cool.
You did another story called The Idea of Order, Waving Jackets at a Dressage Show. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. This was, Morgan Schmidt submits a comic to us each Wednesday, which are always a lot of fun. And this one addressed the topic of, when jackets get waved at horses. I don't know where you stand on this, Jamie. When you know it's hot, in the ground jury deems that jackets are waved. Like, Jamie, do you keep your jacket on, or do you take it off?
Oh, hell no! I take that sucker off, about throw it in the dirt and ride off. You tell me I don't have to wear a jacket, it's gone. What do you do? Do you wear your jacket? Are you crazy?
I am crazy. Like, even if I'm on the verge of, even if it's 100 degrees, 90% humidity, and I'm on the verge of heat stroke, I just can't. I'll maybe take it off in the warm up, but it's almost like this weird George Morris voice. And it's like, you can do anything for 3.5 minutes, you know.
See, I think I had to, when I showed hunters for probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years growing up, and there's never a day that they would wave a jacket, ever.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be 150 degrees outside, and I grew up in Georgia, humid as hell, and I had to wear that coat. And you're always standing by the end gate, like, and they'll just be like, okay, you're next. And so you would have to wear it even when you're standing there waiting. And I think that ruined me for life. And now if they tell me I don't have to wear it, it's gone.
Yeah. And now at least they have having jackets that are made of technical fabrics that are breathable and really lightweight, like that's a very recent development. Like, and when you know when you're what you're talking about and like how I grew up was like
wool.
You're wearing like a wool coat,
yeah,
which makes it even more insane. But I just can't. I'm just like especially if it's dressage and you're wearing white breeches and a white it's just not attractive. Nobody looks good. maybe some people, not me, dressed in a head to toe white. No, it's just not. It's not flattering. Not flattering.
You know what? I guess I quit caring. I know I don't look good. It's okay. I don't know. Maybe if I get one of those Essequestrian technical fabric jackets, I will totally change because it'll probably feel more comfortable. But as of now, I still have a wool coat, and I
you
still
really?
Don't want to wear it. Yes, I know. I need to get a new one, but I just, you know, it's like if it ain't broke, don't think. You know, I just
right.
Coats are expensive.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So, yeah.
Well, Brad, before we run out of time here, there's one other one I want to talk to you about, Leslie, and that is one called the 10 Best Equestrian Problems on Twitter.
I forgot about that one. I love it.
So you posted some of the people that were commenting with pound equestrian problems and hashtag equestrian problems. And there were a couple in here that just cracked me up. The one from Faye, she wrote, I just saw a girl with a red ribbon in her hair, and my first thought was, she's a kicker. How about
so
this one
good.
From Morgan, who says, whenever I drive over a speed bump, I try in 2 points. And here's one, too. Where would it go? Oh, this one was from A. Thompson, wrote, wiping your face with a towel and then realizing you used it to wipe dirt from your horse's nostrils. Oh, we've all done that, haven't we?
This one, I think this one's my favorite. This is it's a picture of somebody's a person holding their tan arm against their pale leg. Yep.
Yep. Farmer tan.
Farmer tan.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You ought to keep doing that one on a regular basis. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Haven't we all done the one that says, I just cut 5 inches off my hair simply because it no longer fit inside my helmet?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
I know. I seriously contemplated a bowl cut when I was a teenager doing the hunters because I was like, those people with the bowl cuts, man, they just pop their helmet on and don't even have to worry about it. You know, and then I started thinking, but then I'll have a bowl cut.
Exactly.
But that was like the second thought.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, I may want to date again.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, thank you, Leslie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Every Monday, Leslie is here at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can find all of the great stuff over there, including Jamie's song, at horsenation.com. Thanks, Leslie.
Sure thing. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye. That's a funny segment, the Horse Nation.
Coach Jen here, and as usual, I'm here with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com. And as is her habit, Debbie has the EquestrianCollections.com product of the week. What have you got, Debbie?
Hi, this week I'm featuring a new product from Fitz, which is fun in the saddle. It's the Fitz Tech Tread Pull-On Breeches. These are a new product from Fitz, and they are going to be perfect for your summer riding. They're very lightweight. They are 14% Lycra, and they also have that Fitz special thing that keeps you very supportive and doesn't allow you to get tired. It's a very supportive fabric. Fitz is really, really famous for that that sort of thing. It's very comfortable, and everybody I've ever known that has Fitz always tells me, you know, until you put a pair on, you're not going to get it. You just won't get it. So, you know, I never got any before because they are pricey. We all know Fitz is right up there on the top of the line. But I went ahead and splurged on these, and guess what? Everybody's right. You put them on, and you're going to feel supported, and they are very they're attractive. They're very stretchy, they're very comfortable, and they are so light. They are going to be, I promise you, my go-to breeches for the summer. Now, even though they are full seat, don't get worried about that because it's not your mom's full seat. You know, it's they're very tech oriented. The patterns are put on there specifically to hold you where you need to be held and allow you to move where you need to move. It's they're really the best of all worlds, and all you can read on the website all the environmentally friendly stuff they use and how they put all these together. I only have 2 minutes to tell you about them, so all I'm going to say is they're very light, they're very comfortable, and really they're very affordable. These breeches are $115, so to find a pair of Fits breeches for less than $120 is really great. So please look at our website, pull up Fits, and the word is TechTread. That's TechTread, and those will come right up for you. And I would suggest buying them as soon as possible, because I know that as soon as people start wearing these this summer, that they're going to be out of stock, especially in some of the more unusual colors. So take a look, and I suggest you give them a try. I think you'll really, really like them.
Awesome. I'm looking at the picture right now, and they have that lovely sticky exactly where you need it and nowhere else full seat on them, so I'm going to check them out myself at equestriancollections.com.
Jamie, there's two related stories over in England this week, and one was a 1835 traveling Landau coach, which is a very expensive, fancy-looking coaches that you see the Queen in sometimes, went up for auction. It was actually based, it was at the Royal Mews where David Saunders used to work, and they had an auction getting rid of some of the stuff. This coach went for £250,000, £250,000. I bought it, and I'll take you for a ride next time you come.
That sounds great. If you paid £250,000, which is how much dollars? Like $320,000, maybe.
Yeah, about that.
I would kick you in the teeth, is what I would do. What a waste of money. But whatever. I mean, you know, somebody. Something's only worth what somebody will pay for it. You know, so I guess you liked it.
They brought in tons of money at this auction, though. They had a ton of carriages, and we had talked about it on the driving radio show, and a lot of the carriage collectors from around the world descended on England for this. But there's a fascinating story, too, I don't know if you've been following, about King Richard III's burial. Have you been following that?
No.
Well, if you'll remember, back in 2012, they were digging up a parking lot in England, and they found the remains of what they have now proved to be King Richard III. Now, King Richard III died back in 1485, and they have done a lot of testing now, and they proved that it was him. So they had to reinter him, and they had a parade where he was in a caisson. Direct descendants of King Henry III, they found his direct descendants. The direct descendants, one of them was a woodworker, made the coffin for him, They put a royal seal on it and everything, and they had horses. I don't know if they were out of the Royal Mews or not, doing the caisson duty, but they had a long parade for him. His coffin will be on public view at the cathedral near Bosworth. He died in the Battle of Bosworth Field in 1485, and near there, he'll be on display. And he'll be reinterred during a ceremony on Thursday. But what a fascinating story about history and about how time's gone on. And they had knights in the procession in full armor because, you know, he died probably in armor in battle.
Wow.
So it was really cool, the whole story. I'll post that on our Facebook page so that people can take a look at the pictures and they can read it. Really neat story.
Wow. That's really weird. You know what's not a really neat story, I'll tell you, is a guy. We never really talk about New Hampshire very much. We don't do stories out of New Hampshire. Well, there's a story out of Scranton, New Hampshire. There was the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I'll give you one guess what this involved. A drunk guy.
Alcohol?
Yeah, exactly. Alcohol. A drunk guy slaps a police horse in Scranton after a St. Patrick's Day parade.
They don't like that.
No, they don't like that at all. And the man is, I don't, apparently the visibly intoxicated man raised his hand and struck the rear of a state police horse named Max. So basically, he slaps Max on the butt. The police officer noticed he had bloodshot eyes. The officer told Abrams, who had bloodshot eyes, he could not hit police horses and attempted to arrest him. Abrams then curled his arms up close to his body to prevent police from placing him in handcuffs, so they pulled him into the ground. They pulled him to the ground. He is arrested on counts of cruelty to animals, resisting arrest, public drunkenness, and I guess there were so many other ones that they didn't even write him in the article, and related counts, they say. He is free on $2,500 bail. His hearing is in March. But apparently all the people, the cops on horses were called to push back the crowd because the crowd was all drunk and coming out of control and into the streets and off the property they were supposed to be on. So this guy slaps a police horse in the butt. They did say that it is unclear if the horse was injured. I'm pretty sure he's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's fine.
Yeah, pretty sure he's fine. But this guy's in jail, got arrested. Don't hit a police horse. I don't care how drunk you are. It's never going to be funny.
They should really teach them when somebody smacks a police horse in the butt, they should really teach the horses to turn sideways and just double barrel them. And then you wouldn't have to bring them to jail. It would be over.
Exactly.
Right?
It'd be over. Done.
Not that problem. Hey, Wednesday morning, we're going to have a best of show for you tomorrow. On Wednesday morning, Jennifer is going to tell us about her adventures. We didn't have time to get to it today. Her adventures over the weekend. She actually, I don't know how she did this, but she expanded Scooter's harness as far as it would go, and she drove Beaker for the first time. So
yay.
We're going to hear how quarter horse driving went over the weekend and how Beaker adapted to that at the age of, 16 or 17. So she'll have that report for us. I actually had a couple people that she must have posted something about it, and they said, we want to hear about Jennifer's driving, and that'll happen on Wednesday. So tune in on Wednesday.
Oh, cool. I think she was inspired by watching all the Live Oak stuff, and now she's going to do competitive driving at 16.
You know
love
what?
It.
I think she will have Beaker at Live Oak the same time you have Thor at Rolex.
Oh, my gosh. That'll be a big year for us, Jen.
Yeah, I don't think Beaker is good.
Yeah, that'll happen. I was inspired by the chair, actually. The chair.
That, the chair you can win?
That he talked about.
The Live Oak chair you can win if you win?
Yes, I want the chair.
3 years, Jennifer. You can be the same year as Jamie, 2018.
Okay.
Write that down.
Okay.
Well, Jamie's sick. I'm tired from the weekend, so let's call it a day. We'll be back here again, as we said. I will have a best-of show for you tomorrow. I'm back Wednesday morning. And then Jennifer and I, immediately after the show on Wednesday, drive the 10-hour trip north to Lexington, Kentucky for our live coverage all weekend of Road to the Horse. So
jealous. Have fun, you guys. All right, I'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Have a great day, Spay, Neuter, Geld.
See you, everybody.
Hey, we're almost at 11,000 likes on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Somebody share us and get us to 11,000 by the end of the day. Please.